An optimistic report on U.S. job growth came out this month, exceeding expectations and offering reassurance about the stability of the labor market. U.S. employers added more than 250,000 jobs in September, continuing a positive trend. But what exactly are those jobs? And who is filling them? And what kind of employment are job seekers looking for these days? We get down to the heart of the matter and talk about finding a job with heart, workplace well-being, seasonal job growth, and whether a college education is going to be the best bet for employment in the future. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News In Depth. As we mark World Mental Health Day this week, it's worth noting that a large portion of our mental and emotional well-being has to do with our employment. For many of us, our workday takes up 8 hours or more of our lives nearly every day. And where we work, what we do, and whom we work with has a powerful impact on whether we are thriving or not. The job search website Indeed published a list of the 100 companies with the highest scores for workplace well-being, and 21 of those are right here in California. Lal M.K., Indeed's talent strategy advisor, good to see you. Thanks for joining us. We want to talk a little bit about workplace well-being, but first, let's take a look at some of those companies who scored highly for being in a workplace workplace well-being. Here's the top 10 California-based companies on the list. One is Disney Parks, Experiences and Products, Apple, The Walt Disney Company, Vans, and Google, Intel Corporation, Chevron, Uber Eats, Instacart, and number 10 is DoorDash. Now, that'll give you some food for thought, if you will, as we discuss this. And what exactly constitutes workplace well-being, Kyle?
We look at 15 different dimensions that define whether or not an employee feels like it's a good place to work. But the four that we really mainly focus on are happiness, of course, sense of purpose at work, your satisfaction level with the workload and the projects that you're working on, and then the ever-loving stress levels.
The ever-loving stress level. Don't we know that? And what do the high-scoring companies do that makes them better?
The big thing that we found with these 100 companies is that they all provide flexibility to their workforce, and they like to give their employees choice, whether that means choice over where they work, how they work, and in some cases, when they work.
A number of companies on the list, and Uber and Lyft are right below the top 10, allow workers to kind of work for themselves. Is that a big factor in all of this?
Yeah, I think after the pandemic, a lot of the workforce decided that they would like to have a little bit more control over their professional life. And Uber and Lyft provide that by giving them a very flexible, kind of an entrepreneurial role in that way.
Are new generations of workers prioritizing well-being over status or money or other historic employment desires?
Yeah, well, the thing is that if you think about from a generational standpoint, millennials and Gen Z, more than 50% of millennials and Gen Z that we've surveyed say that well-being is the top thing that they are looking for in their next employer. And all of those things that you just mentioned, fair pay, flexibility, manager support, appreciation, all of these go into how someone feels about work.
And so besides those who are people to work on their own, like Uber or Lyft, what are some of the things that people do that are in jobs that give them a workplace well-being?
Well, there's a lot of things. And the thing is, like, I'm sure you believe this, that we are products of our environment. And the one that is in charge of the environment is the employer. And so it's really more of the employer's responsibility to create a better workplace than it is on the individual worker. However, some workers are trying to be as vigilant as possible and communicating with their managers to let them know when they aren't feeling the best about their workplace, whether it be they're too stressed or overloaded.
Well, it kind of goes back to seventh grade math, right? We are the sum of our parts and that old arithmetic algorithm. But you know, it's true. And so where do journalists fall on this list?
Journalists, it's hard to tell. I didn't see any media broadcasters outside of course, Disney on that list. And so I think that means that you have some work to do.
No, I'm happy. I have well-being here in my workplace. I think we're pretty good. I guess there's so many questions, though, with this jobs report that came out and some of the things that we're hearing about the way jobs are going. Tell me a little bit about what are some of the qualifications people need to be able to get jobs, because there are people out there that aren't working.
Yeah, it's a very competitive labor market out there right now. And so I think the things that a lot of job seekers could be focused on right now is making sure that they're finding companies in which they feel like they are going to like working for. A lot of job seekers in the past kind of just sprayed their resume everywhere that they could and hoped that they got any sort of job. But then they found out once they got a job that they weren't very happy and they'd end up leaving anyways. So it's really important to find a company that really gels with you and your values. And then beyond that, it's important to mention that every recruiter out there is reading hundreds and hundreds of resumes. So you want to make sure that you are highlighting what's going to make you the best bet for that specific role rather than just kind of having a generic resume. You want to make it specific to that specific role when you can.
Well, sure. There's certainly a lot of competition for every job that's out there. And as young people are flooding the market, what are they finding?
The folks that are at least in the younger generations or just the what we like to call the entry level folks who are just getting into the workforce, I think they're open to work in a variety of different places. But again, that well-being is one of the top things that they are focused on. So keeping that as a core value is preventing some folks from finding places as quickly as they might like.
All right. You know, there's so many things we want to talk about. And for a number of people, well-being isn't the only thing on the top of their list. They'd just like to be able to get a job. And we're going to chat more with you about employment in the next segment. One of the things we'll be talking about is seasonal jobs and hiring. Will this be a big holiday buying and hiring season? We'll find out right after this break. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News in Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. Back with us is Kyle M.K., the Talent Strategy Advisor with Indeed, the employment website. We talked a bit at the beginning of the show about an optimistic employment report coming out from the U.S. government, but we're also hearing rumors that holiday employment may not be as great as some hoped. A report from Challenger Gray & Christmas predicts holiday sales are expected to grow at the slowest pace in 6 years, in part because of tighter consumer spending. What are you hearing?
We actually see the opposite in our reporting. Our reporting shows that employers see this as a more optimistic holiday season. So they are ramping up holiday hiring. And we're back to pre-pandemic levels when it comes to seasonal hiring now. So we anticipate that a lot of those employers will be able to find some of that workforce.
Some of them. But do you think there'll be more than last year or less than last year that are hired?
We see a pretty big appetite for seasonal hiring this year in terms of like what people are searching for. So I'm not quite sure exactly how the future will play out, but I do hope that folks will be matched up with a company that provides them a really nice holiday season.
Are some companies cutting back because of consumer restraint?
Well, I think it's a weird year because it's election year. And so some companies might be pulling back for consumer restraint, but they might also be pulling back to see what the outcome of the election might be. So there's a lot of factors in play. But of course, at Indeed, our job is to help folks find jobs and get them. And so we want to make sure that we take that matching as seriously as we ever have.
And it's not just retail jobs, is it?
No, although retail jobs do make up a large portion of seasonal hires, we do see some sales roles as well as warehousing.
Well, we've heard of an increase in needs for everything from bartenders to snowplow drivers. So what kind of jobs are there out there?
All types of jobs. You just mentioned a couple with snowplow drivers. My favorite one that I saw was like basketball coaches. Basketball season ramps up in the fall and in the winter, and that seems to be a thing that different communities are looking for. But as I mentioned before, a majority, at least this year, are going to lie in that retail industry.
So how can people best position themselves to try to grab onto one of these jobs?
Yeah, well, it's important to remember that it is a competitive market and that there are a lot of people out there that are looking for seasonal roles. And so as you are applying to new jobs, just highlight what makes you special for that specific role or why you would want to work for that specific company. I think companies right now are looking for talent that has an intrinsic belief that their product is the best on the market, so that way that retail experience can be, you know, next level.
Well, I want to go back to that well-being in the workplace, because I think that's kind of an interesting concept. And, you know, you have companies that are not listed in the top 100. And so I know we kind of alluded to this question, but what do they need to do to beef it up?
One of the things that we found that was pretty interesting is that actually a majority of companies don't know how their employees feel because they're just simply not asking questions around work well-being. And so that is probably the very first thing that they can do is listen to their employees, ask them direct questions about their happiness, their sense of purpose, satisfaction level, or stress.
Do you think that companies should be putting out a survey? I mean, we live in a world of surveys anymore. You go to the grocery store, they ask you to do a survey. You know, you go buy shoes, they ask you to do a survey. It doesn't seem like it'd be out of place for employees to do a survey.
It is the easiest way to get a bunch of information in a short period of time. But let's say if a company doesn't have the resources or the time or energy in order to throw out a survey to all of their employees, they could very easily go to their company page on Indeed and see what their employees are already saying behind their back about how they feel and maybe take some action with that information.
And we talked a little bit about younger workers flooding into the market. Are they getting more picky about the kind of work they're willing to do?
I don't know if I would consider them to be picky. I would consider them to have a certain set of standards that they're unwilling to go back on. And COVID was a big driver of that. We already saw this kind of going into a work well-being forward type of future before the pandemic. But COVID really accelerated things when it came to worker expectations. And Gen Z is a very good example of what the future will look like when it comes to worker expectations.
And you talk about the pandemic and returning to work. And for quite some time, people were returning to work remotely. And now you have some companies that are removing some of that flexibility and requiring people to come back to work. What is the impact of that?
I think the companies who are doing the return to office are already seeing an impact. There's a lot of angry employees in their Slack channels or internal Microsoft Teams channels who are saying like, well, what am I going to do with my dog? I have to get doggy daycare or my children. Sometimes they have a one car household and there's not a lot of good public transportation. So I think companies are already getting some of that negative feedback. But another thing that companies are seeing is a lot more turnover after they make those types of calls. And so that's something that I think over time, as folks start to get out of their real estate leases that they signed just before COVID and those start to end, they might start to reevaluate their return to office priorities.
And so the message to employers is take surveys, right? Find out how your employees feel. Find out if they're angry.
Truly, just listen to your employees. It sounds simple and it can get complicated, but truly just ask them what they need in order to do their best work. And I promise you the answers might surprise you.
All right. Kyle MK with Indeed. Thanks so much for joining us. Indeed. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we take a look at the future of employment and why manufacturing might be coming back in a big way. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, and according to the U.S. Labor Department, just 62% of high school grads are enrolling in college. That's down from 66% in 2019. Instead, more teens are working at restaurants and theme parks, as well as blue-collar jobs like construction and manufacturing. The shift comes as more Americans turn away from college due to the high cost and the hot job market. Joining us right now is Ramona Schindelheim, editor-in-chief of Working Nation, joins us now to talk about some of that. And, you know, how are you? It's good to see you. Haven't seen you in a while.
Good to see you, too.
It seems to be a recent trend that high school grads are choosing not to go to college. Is that what you're saying?
It's not as recent as you might expect, because right now in our country, only 33% of all working adults have a four-year degree. A lot of people are choosing to go directly into the job market. And so sometimes that requires having a certificate or maybe do some work, earn and learn working experience so they can get right in, because, you know, it does cost a lot of money to go to college. I think one of the numbers I saw most recently is four-year degree. The average cost, $56,000 a year. A lot of money. And then if you have to take out a loan, you get saddled with college debt. So a lot of people, maybe it's not as recent as we think, but a lot of people are choosing to go right into the dark job market.
Well, that college debt, you know, there have been reports of massive college debt for some of these folks. Is that part of the problem? Is that what it is?
I really think it is. A lot of people, if you think about it, you live in L.A. area. I live in L.A. area. But we have a very big country out there that has, you know, different costs of living, different standards of living. What's a middle class in LA is different than what's in Chicago or New York. So when they start looking at where they live, how much it costs to live, the bottom line is they want some kind of economic stability, some kind of, you know, baseline where they can feed their family, they can, you know, buy a house, buy a car. So going to college and then trying to do that 4 years later, or some people take 4 to 6 years to graduate college. So, you know, trying to get into the job market right away is very, very attractive.
Well, when we talk about options, some people tend to think about manual labor, but there are other alternatives as well.
Oh, yeah. There is a big market out there for IT workers. And when you think about IT, we're not just talking about a big company. Think about your small business that might be running a bakery. They need someone to make sure, they need to make sure that their own website is secure. So there's IT workers who might work remotely and might have 3 or 4 companies that they're working for. Cybersecurity is huge. Just recently this year, the U.S. Department of Treasury, which has a cybersecurity unit and oversees it for the country, partnered with Google so they could start getting certifications out there, low cost, so they could fill what they say are 600,000 roles each year. So it's beyond the blue-collar job, but there's nothing wrong with a blue-collar job. They can pay very well.
So I wanted to ask you about the training, because you talked about certifications. And so you don't have a college degree. Maybe you didn't even graduate high school, and you want to get a job. They're going to likely train you to do these sort of things, right?
They are. Some of these would ask for a high school diploma. So that is really kind of a baseline where you should, you know, try to get your GED. If you can't get the diploma for whatever reasons, there's family circumstances that might prevent you from getting your high school diploma when, you know, at 18. But try to get your GED. And then you can go into training. And the training could go anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks. Some goes a little longer. I remember just a couple of years ago in LA, in the LA area, Amazon Web Services, they needed a lot of people to train on cloud. And so they partnered with local community colleges. So that for the cost of, I think it was 3 of the semesters, you could get that training program. So, you know, however much that was. And they were hiring people right out of class because they needed people so badly to do, again, what is basically an IT job.
So let's look at another field, healthcare. Seems like there are more and more job opportunities in healthcare. Am I right about that?
Oh, absolutely. If you look at the jobs numbers every month, you'll see that healthcare is one of the number one hiring, and they just don't stop hiring. There's a nursing shortage in our country. Now, to be a nurse, you are going to need at least an associate's degree, so a two-year degree or a four-year degree. But you can get a job as a certified nursing associate, and there are free to low-cost to free classes on that in training to get you ready for the certificate. And then you can build yourself up. And those are the people who go in and they may help with the patient care on the initial level when people are coming into a facility or a hospital. But if you go in, sometimes the employers there will then help you get to the next level. And again, some of that is employer paid. So healthcare, absolutely something you want to be in. Medical assistance too. Phlebotomists, right? The people who go and draw your blood. There are training programs out there all across the country for that as well.
And job opportunities in medical offices and in clinics and you know, people responsible for helping to do the supportive work in these medical centers.
Absolutely. And not just the medical part of it. Think of medical billing. That is a job. Everybody, you know, the country's getting older and it's getting bigger. So there's a lot of people who need healthcare. And so there's, as you said, those other support roles, but medical billing, you got to learn stuff about medical terms and how they're coded through insurance. And again, check out your community college for that, because there are classes in that as well.
And what about this notion of a resurgence in manufacturing?
Well, I happen to be coming to you today from Minneapolis, where the Manufacturing Institute is holding a workforce summit. There are over 400 companies here, big and small, and they're gathered to talk about ways that they can attract, train, and retrain workers for the skills they need today. They say that every month, this is their estimate, there are 600,000 jobs that go unfilled across the country. And because of the changes and the resurgence of manufacturing, partly because of private investment and partly because of federal investments in like the Bipartisan Infrastructure Act and the CHIPS Act, they're saying we need more workers. And it's not going to stop. And if you think about it, these are jobs that are technical. They may be, you know, we hear robots are going to take our job. They're not going to take our job. What they're going to do is change our jobs.
Okay, and at this point, point, my job is to say we've run out of time. I'm so sorry, Ramona.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. Good to see you. Thank you so much. Ramona Schindelheim and Fox 11 News in Depth will continue right after this break. Don't go away. Thank you. And finally, if you want to hear an audio version of this program, just check out my podcast. It's called What the Hell, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or just go to whatthehellpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.